Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I am your host, Justin Williams. Somehow I am awake on a Monday morning, and here I am back in the studio. I am super happy to be here with you guys. It is a suspiciously beautiful day, and I'm very, very pleased about that. The sun is shining, the sky is blue. School is out. My daughter got good grades. I can't complain too often. A lot is happening, so I wanted to give a special shout out to all of the teachers out there that survived, all of the professors who survived, their students and their kids and their curriculum and all of that stuff. Y'all made it. Y'all made it. We'll see y'all next school year. And I also wanted to take a quick moment to give a special shout out to a very special someone out there by the name of RJ Johnson. He passed away quite recently. And I knew of him. We met through Recover Alaska. I host a show there called First Taste. And he was a guest of ours on our last show. And I know he meant a lot to a lot of my friends out there. It's all over social media, and it's a terrible thing to lose a good man like that. And so I know it's a short show. We only have an hour. And so I wanted to give just 10 quick seconds of silence in his memory. All right. May he rest in peace. And my heart goes out to his friends and family. So thank you for everything that you've done for us, RJ. We'll miss you. That being said, here we all are. We are well. We are happy. And we're not going to take anything for granted today. So that being said, let's talk about something that means a lot to me as a musician, as a drummer. The Spinard Jazz Fest is coming really, really soon, May 31st soon, and this has been going on, if you didn't know, for 15 years? Mm-hmm. Yeah? That's a long time. I don't think I've committed to anything except for breathing oxygen for 15 years straight. And the reason why this means a lot to me is because as a musician who is invested and committed and dedicated to a multitude of genres, I feel like I owe so much to the jazz culture, to jazz musicianship. And we have three special guests that I'm going to introduce real quick before we jump into things. Am I saying your name right? Ingvill Van Guttu.
That's pretty close.
That's all right.
I think I'll give you 9.5 out of 10.
That's not bad.
Really the best score of the morning.
Yes. Yeah. All right. That's what I'm talking about. You are the founding festival director of the Spinard Jazz Festival, and you have been a musician for how long?
That would say how old I am. For a long time.
For a long time. Yeah. All right. Mm.
Never ask a festival director their age.
Right.
I'm bold. I just dive right in.
Okay. You know? I would say half a century.
All right. That's an amazing achievement.
Yeah. My dad taught me to play trumpet. He put me up on the linen chest in our hallway, and he held his trumpet up, and he said, blow like this. And I did. And my mother came out of the kitchen, sort of classic, you know, gender role moment that was the only one we ever had in our family. She came out with her apron from the kitchen and went, oh, really good. And then that's when I became a trumpet player.
It was right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That is very
50 years ago. Oh my God.
I'm out of here. We'll see you later. Have a good day.
No,
we're happy that you're here. Thank you for spending your morning with us. We also have Corinthia Rabb here with us. You're going to be performing at the Jazz Fest.
Yes, I am.
And oh my gosh. Apparently, we're going to get into this a little bit, but apparently she has been bragging on you.
Really?
About Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Born and raised in Seattle.
Okay.
Love it. Miss it.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
And you're here.
And I'm here.
You're here.
Since December 16th, 1977.
Hey, now. Okay. Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
And we have Mr. Carl Wilhelmy.
Wilhelmy, yes.
Wilhelmy.
Yes.
I like that name, sir. You do have a good radio voice.
Oh.
You want to take over my job when I go?
No.
You should. It's a good
having a voice is one thing.
Seriously.
Yeah. Having the smarts and wherewithal to talk on the radio is a different thing.
Yeah. Okay. I think if we merged, we might be the perfect radio host, so we can...
I'll take 9:30 to 10.
Okay, that sounds good.
It is a good radio host.
And you are a bookkeeper, head of the box office and merch sales.
And guitarist and bass player and par excellence, and guitar builder.
Yes. Oh, you build guitars.
All of these things,
he's an amazing musician.
My goodness. Awesome. You're a jack of all trades.
Master of none.
Master of none. All right. I like to hear it. So everyone who's listening, this is a live show. So if you have a relationship with jazz, if you love jazz, if you're a musician, if you're a professor, if you're a teacher, or you're just curious, feel free to... give us a call here. If you're in Anchorage, that number is 907-550-8433, statewide at 1-888-353-5752, or shoot us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We are so happy to have the three of you here. And, you know, the history of jazz, you know, has its origins in African-American communities like rock and hip-hop and all sorts of other genres. You know, it's soulful. It's painful, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's really necessary as a precursor to so many modern day genres and offshoots of those genres. You know, and having that so alive and well today really gives a younger audience the opportunity to look back at the history of it, which goes back centuries. So why jazz?
Yes, big question. I want to also point out, I'm an immigrant. I've been in Alaska for 20 years, and before that I lived in other countries, Canada, Toronto, London, England. But I'm from Norway originally, and I got turned on to, well, there's two kinds of jazz I got turned on to. One was Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald records, the two jazz records my family had. Mm-hmm. Everything else was Haydn, Beethoven, Mozart, because my parents are classical musicians. But that was, and there was absolutely, you know, and Louis Armstrong came and performed in our local sports hall, like in 19, he died in 1970, so it would have been like 69 or something. Mm-hmm. And, but... I would say that jazz is like blues. It's folk music, and what is happening in Europe that a lot of American music fans and jazz fans are understandably not really super aware of is that the Norwegian, for example, indigenous folk music has a long time ago merged with the sounds of American, African-American based jazz and blues. Mm-hmm. And a lot of musicians, black musicians, would come over for a respite, you know, in 40s and 50s to be treated well, better, as the stars that they were in Europe. And many stayed, many married into, you know, Scandinavian families and so on. And we, you know, we have, you know, Sonny Rollins, for example, in Denmark. And as a just one example, so lots of, many people... influenced the music in person as performers come visiting, but also just the music. And so what drew me to jazz, the first time I just went, was a trio called the Magico Trio with Jan Gabrek, who's a Norwegian Czech saxophone player, Charlie Hayden, who passed, who's a white American bass player, and the Brazilian guitarist Egberto Gismonti. And that was, to me, that was my turn, my big turn on, my big light, you know, that this is the meaning of life. Mm. And that was in 1977 when they were on TV. We didn't have television, but I saw it somewhere, somebody else's little television screen and heard it. And it never left me since. And that's when I started buying those kind of records instead of maybe the ones that I was listening to before as an 11-year-old. So why jazz? I think it has now probably got, for many people, they think of jazz as a sort of slightly intellectual, noodly art form where a lot of people play lots of notes because they learned them and they studied them and whatever. And there's a sort of like an anti-elitist sort of streak to it, and maybe blues or maybe something simpler, two chords, three chords. maybe that's kind of more what people prefer. But, you know, really, we are incredibly complex human beings, and we're able to listen to and love and understand everything. But what has to ring true, I think, is the truth and the wanting to communicate something in your music. That's what comes. And all the music is created at first because you have something to say.
Right.
And going to the root of the creation of the music, I think, is what we've always tried to do at Spinal Jazz Fest. It's a festival for creative music, and it features original music.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on people writing music specifically for this festival or showcasing music that they wrote and they rehearsed. So there's a lot of original music involved. Not all, but that's one of our big focuses.
Okay. Yeah, I think one of the beautiful things about modern day jazz is that it's always still so innovative, you know, with other genres, which, you know, I'm not knocking anything, but with so many other genres, at least, you know, popular ones, you just hear, you know, kind of regurgitations of what came before instead of innovations on top of what came before. And, you know, with African music and African American music, there is so much strength in the repetition of a certain song, of a certain chant, of something that is gospel, of something that is soul, of something that is funk, you know. But I feel like that's kind of gotten tarnished with pop music, right? And I like pop music, it's fine, but the reason why it is because it focused so much on that very static repetition. It's not necessarily dynamic, and I feel like
jazz...
No,
it's a formulaic.
It's formulaic, yes.
It's to sell. It's to sell. It's made to sell, and it's not made to express, so that's a huge difference.
And it works, right? It absolutely works. But when you talk about expression is dynamic. It is not formulaic. It doesn't look or sound or feel the same way every time. It's like a sunset. You've never seen the same exact sunset twice. That's what jazz music is to me.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm a big fan, you know, and Anchorage, I was born and raised here, right? Mm-hmm. Anchorage is...
My heart goes out to you.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
She
Hello, said, everybody. I love Anchorage.
She said,
just
so I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, I always tell people, I was born here, born and raised here, for better or for worse. And I always tell my friends, like, the mountains are right there. The sunset is right there. The sunrise is right over there. You know, it is so hard because it's always in your face. It's so hard to see the beauty of this place sometimes. Something is right in your face all the time. You just take it for granted. And I've really been trying to step outside of that shell. I've been thinking about where I live, which is right by Spinard. And I've seen it. I've been viewing it in such a beautiful, different way. And it really helps me appreciate it so much more. Like, Anchorage is just such an eclectic place. And Spinard in particular, we're talking about, you know, Chilkoot Charlie's is right there. The Drip, which is, you know, the only Black-owned coffee hut in the city, or at least the first. You know, back in the day, the Space Station Arcade was there. REI used to be there. It's an eclectic space. And I feel like it is a wonderful representation for the diversity of the entire city, you know. And I wanted to direct this question to you, Corinthia. Because you're not from here, right?
No, I'm not.
So you probably have a particular, you know, or you're not either, but I feel like you have a particular perspective on this, quite possibly, is what do you think the relationship between jazz and this city is?
Wow. I think it's a relationship of discovery.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really, I can't, yeah. It's a relationship of discovery, because I don't think they really understand, as far as the general public, what jazz is.
Right.
And how it comes from the soul, how it helped us to live and function. Mm-hmm. So I think we're discovering that more and more, and then thanks to Enville,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's opening the door for that to happen.
Yeah.
We're learning.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's educational.
Yes, it is.
You know, it is good for the soul. I feel like it's... cleansing.
Mm-hmm. It's a voice. Yeah.
It's a voice. It's emotion. It's expression. And I think that's, Yeah, it's poetry in of itself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the best kind of music I think that there is. The culture too, right? We talk about music all the time. When we talk about like hip hop, I think, you know, we talk about the music, but we forget the culture. Mm-hmm. When we talk mm-hmm. about punk, we talk about the music, but we don't talk about the culture. And I feel like there's so much culture with jazz as well. And so, Carl, I wanted to direct this to you. What does jazz specifically, what does it mean to you?
To me?
We've kind of dove into that a little bit, but like, yeah, what does it mean to you?
Well, it's three things. It's joy, it's creativity, and it's freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's a type of music that I started listening to because I heard it on records. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear live jazz until I was probably in my late 20s.
Right.
So I heard it through the sounds that came on records, and I liked what I heard. And so that was without any historical context. Obviously, you just hear what's coming through it, and sometimes you get a little background from looking at the record, labels or the covers. But I loved the sounds that I heard, mm-hmm. and the more I realized how intertwined it was with American history, mm-hmm. The more I came to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about jazz is, I would kind of disagree with Engvall. Most people think of jazz as elevator music these days.
Right.
It's something you hear, it kind of noodles in the background, but jazz came out of mostly communities that wanted something to celebrate.
Mm.
Right? And so this is what they use. It was dance music. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of other music, like classical music, started out as dance music during the Renaissance in sure. Europe and got developed into these longer forms that were more, as Engvall said, intellectualized.
Yeah.
And jazz has followed much of that same journey, but at the root, I think, of most good jazz, or the jazz I like to listen to, is the dance. Mm-hmm. And it's that music you can move to and also appreciate with your head. You can appreciate with your body and your head. So it's that sense of freedom to do basically whatever you want, because although a lot of jazz uses standard song forms, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things like when I listen to Jan Garbarek, he's not using a 32-bar song form. Mm-mm. He's just, it's much more free form than that. Mm-hmm. So it's such mm-hmm. a big envelope that's what attracts me to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Do you think that, because there is such a thing as structure within jazz, do you think rigidity has a place in jazz music?
I know, the way you say that makes it sound like, ooh, no, rigidity. That's something.
But rigidity, absolutely not. There'd be no rigidity here. No.
Although we're in this building because
or
of
negativity.
Rigidity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're able to live in this building because of rigidity. So, I mean, that's kind of a open question.
It is.
We like form. We like yes. structure. I do.
Yes.
I like form and structure, but there's also that beautiful freedom within it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Because I grew up with classical music, and my whole family really brought, there's three generations of high achieving classical music. And now I have a relative, a 15-year-old girl who's a prodigy and a violin player. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's gooey-eyed over that because it's so. And I wanted to be I wanted to play trumpet in a symphony orchestra. I did as a kid. Eventually, it was just like, I love the orchestral music. Excuse me. I love Mahler and Mozart. And, you know, I had role models like that. You know, it's hard to live up to. And then, and there are very few role models for a female trumpet player. At least there were zero in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And the freedom that I found was also very much like, I'm all about structure, really, but I just want to step out of it. So like you say, you have the structure there so that you can show that you can play with it. And yes, I do like, there is free form, free improv, and I've done a bunch of free improv myself, and it's great, but it doesn't matter. Our minds, if you're looking at just from a sort of a neurological standpoint, mm-hmm. we understand ourselves and our surroundings and our lives through finding patterns. And either we like following them because we are sheep and we like to and we want to feel safe, mm-hmm. or maybe we just don't want to work hard that day, you know, whatever it is, good reason. or we're kind of more rebellious or more just, you know, we're breathing human beings. And you see it with animals too. There are certain things, certain standards, certain things that they always do, and then they actually improvise. So I think the dichotomy there is really clever to point out. Rigidity or, call it structure, maybe, if we agree on, if we have consensus on that word.
Yes.
And that's the other thing, a consensus where there's tremendous freedom. That's one thing I find myself personally struggling with when I play and when I work, is the letting go part when I'm with others. It's a negotiation. When you play in jazz, it's a very democratic thing because you're just saying, this is what we're going to start with. And then we're just going to let everyone's, we're going to watch and listen very carefully. Listen. Listening is the key. You listen and then you feel and you go, okay, I'm going to let this person. And then I'm going to start being with them, playing. Whether it is a structure that's a 32-bar thing or whether it's whatever it is, it's a total dialogue and a companionship in that time when you make them the music. And that's an attitude.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is at the heart of jazz, that there's openness, generosity. You can find it in many other situations in music making, but it's absolutely key. And then the audience comes away also, because the audience are part of the music making. Everybody comes away going, wow, because it happened. So that is, I think, the key of it.
Okay. I know, that was beautifully said.
Yes.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a healthy relationship. You know, it sounds like I know your love language, and so I know how to communicate with you. Right? And I know how to receive the love language that you're trying to give me. I have to trust you to know what I need in the moment. On Spinard, the old, I don't know what in the world kind of building it is now, it used to be the Taproot.
Yeah, it's a church.
It's a church now? That's really cool. It was a couple of things before it was a church.
A lot of things. I could rent it off.
Not the old Taproot. It's the old Church of Love.
No,
not
you're
the
talking,
Church of Love.
No,
there's another
Taproot.
One.
I remember the
Are
Taproot.
We going to do City Gossip? It was a fly-by-night club.
Fly-by-night club,
yeah. That's now a church.
Oh, is it a church
now? It's a church. They bought it.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Everybody smile. The church bought the bar.
Okay.
Yeah. We're so happy about it. We're really, really, really happy about it. It's great.
I think it's a great space. I think it's a wonderful space.
It's the best space. And now the church has it.
A church has it.
And we're really happy about it. I mean, I can't tell you how happy I am about that. It's fantastic.
No comment.
Right, it's just a no comment.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when it was the Taproot, and you know, Taproot, before then, it was a tiny little space over on Huffman, right? And so when they moved into this bigger space, you know, me and my friends in college, we would always go there, you know, for the jazz jams and the blues jams, and they would just invite random people from the audience to play. And as a drummer, whenever they invite me up there, it was a very difficult thing because I'm more accustomed to like more modern rock when it comes to drumming, because it's very simple, it's very rigid, it's very structured, it's so simple. But going up there was a challenge. We didn't read no sheet music. You had to feel it. You had to communicate without without talking. And I did not have to do, I barely had to do that with any other type of performance in any other genres. And so that was extremely challenging. So I love the fact that we're able to talk about that. Because I understand that fully. It really is a relationship with the people that you have on stage. And with that, we are going to take a short break. This is Hometown Alaska, if you're just tuning in. I'm your host, Justin Williams, and we're talking about jazz and the Spinard Jazz Festival and our city's relationship to the culture. Our guests today are Corinthia Rabb, Carl Wilhelmi, and Ingvil Van Gudu. And if you're in town, feel free to give us a call at 907-550-8433, statewide 1-888-353-572, or shoot us an email at hometown@alaskapublicmedia.org. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. If you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Justin Williams, and we're talking about the Spinard Jazz Festival and jazz itself and the city's relationship to the culture. And our guests today are Corinthia Rabb, Carl Wilhelmi, and Ingvild van Guru. So if you're listening, this is a live show. We'd love to hear your feedback. Do you like jazz music? Do you play jazz music? Are you planning on attending the Spinard Jazz Fest, which is on May 31st through June 5th, and I hope that you are. Feel free to give us a call and let us know. If you're in Anchorage, that's 907-550-8433. Statewide at 1-888-353-5752. Or if you're in front of a computer, go ahead and email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So we're just having a blast here talking about jazz. Ingvild, you wanted to make a comment on something that I said a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I thought you said a lot of good things. I wanted to comment also on or offer my observation. What can happen sometimes in, we're talking about the language and the listening and how you sort of develop a certain social ability in music to be together on stage or in a room, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really important that that gets taught or gets allowed to flourish. It's part of music education. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it could be within any style of music and not just music that has this sort of part of its trademark to be improvisational and open, but like all music is really, and all existence is about listening as mm-hmm. much as more. And cultures, you know, some cultures are really big on listening and mm-hmm. listen more than you talk, and others are not. And what I also think is, the other thing I was going to say is that then the level of meaningfulness, if that's something, it comes to like the creative, facilitating creation is big part of what I think, you know, music educators, all educators need to do. And you mm-hmm. were giving a shout out to the teachers. So here's another one, you know, allow for this to be new and don't try to copy everything that's been before. And I do think that sometimes a style like jazz and others, is a victim, like most things, I think, of people trying to define it and then pass it on in a sort mm-hmm. of, here, look in this box, this is what jazz is. And what I find a lot happen, for example, here, where jazz did not start in Alaska, right? And so there's a lot of people don't feel the entitlement to be creative and recreate on top of what they already know. And that's actually a big part of my personal purpose. And with not just starting, I didn't start the festival because I wanted that to happen, but that's one of my drives that was imbued. The festival vibe is imbued with that as far as what I can influence, mm-hmm. is that giving people full, and encouraging people, give them full entitlement and allow them to do something new, step outside of it. You're not here to fulfill a brief mm-hmm. at all. That's not what it is. It's not like a history, the little presentation box, you know. Right. We're going to play swing, we're going to play bebop, all of that is great, but, you know, often I think that it sort of stops there. Well, we've done it now. Look, I played this, but did anything happen? Mm-hmm. Like, nothing happened. It wasn't really music as far as I'm concerned. It was, it could have been just a picture of it or theory. It's just theory. So that sounds like I'm dissing on people who are playing and trying to do the best they can. I'm not, but they haven't made it happen for me. So I'm just letting them know, mm-hmm. you know, I'm dead over here. Nothing's happening. So could you please like come out of your box and play for me, you know? And that's not meant to be aggressive or anything. It's like, no, come on, you know, hey, mm-hmm. look up, the sun down, the mountains, you, the world, the person next to you. Like, and I think possibly COVID taught us how theoretical and dead and not connected we could be. And now I feel like everyone's like unwittingly exploding into more communion like that. So I'm hoping that we're going to see a lot more sort of vibe and life in the music making that we have as well as everywhere else. So that was my short comment on that. Thanks for listening.
Oh, no, thank you. And that was one of my questions I actually had. COVID was really weird for everyone.
Yes.
Right? 2020 was an interesting year, for better or for worse. For most people, I would say collectively, yeah, it was for the worst. So what happened with the Jazz Fest in 2020? Did it happen?
Yeah, it totally did. We took a big breath and we agreed on the spot that we weren't going to cancel anything, that we were going to go fully online. Mm-hmm. We were going to keep it open to possibly be live. We had like a code red, code orange, and code green, and code green never happened. And we had one event that was code orange. That meant that people were in the same room together. Mm-hmm. But the entire, we became a TV show. Mm-hmm. And it was every day for 3 weeks instead of 5-6 days as we have now, because we had 40 acts. We typically have about 30, 40. Now it's almost 50 this year, if not more. And so we, instead of having everyone crammed into like a number of days, we needed to spread them out, because you can't ask people to sit in front of the Zoom screen for 12 hours like we are asking people to come and hang out potentially with us at the Nave for, you know, for 12 hours next Saturday, the 4th of June. Yeah. And so we have that kind of program. So we did 2 acts, didn't we?
I believe so.
Yeah, and we learned how to, we were the first festival in Anchorage, and we then did a bunch of advising to other festivals. All the major festivals contacted us and said, what did you do? How did you do it? So we learned a program called Wirecast. We, you know, our videographer kind of, you know, taught himself, and that's now his main, I think one of his main sources of income. Mm. And so we just sort of went, we're not going to make it beat us. And we did absolutely every single act in either pre-recorded video version or live streaming, a lot of interviews. And we had many more people, you know, tuning in from around the country for that reason. Okay. And we discovered that we could build a worldwide audience. So that's what happened. And I'm pretty proud of that. I thought it was a great challenge and we met it.
Yeah. I think that
we're still streaming, by the way, now because of it, like most performing groups.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have the live element and the streaming element.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the people, still some people aren't comfortable. We're doing a lot of outdoor events this year because of that reason. We've even bought our own stage and our own tents so we can move around. And so, yeah, when you look on our website, you can see kind of a combination of outdoor events. Most of them are outdoor, and then a big space event that where people can space out comfortably. Mm-hmm. And then we are streaming the entire final weekend of the show, and that's the bulk of our offering. Okay. So, yeah, there's opportunities for everyone to see it even now.
I love that. I think it does take a lot of, it just you have to be really mindful and really thoughtful about things like that, especially when you have no desire to cancel, because people are, you know, a little weird about this stuff. And I don't mean that in a bad way, right? I go to the gym, I still wear a mask, and I'm probably the only one there who has a mask on. And so I'm the weird one. And it's like, hey, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're feeling good.
But yeah. But yeah, it's a wonderful challenge. I love that word. It is definitely a good challenge, and I'm glad that it was met by you guys. And we kind of tapped into this a little bit, you know, you just kind of spoke into it a little bit. But I do want to talk about the festival. I mean, as the founding director, 15 years, first of all, huge. That is wonderful, guys. Mm-hmm. Why did you feel Alaska needed this?
Oh, it's me again.
Yes.
Anyone can chip in, but I'm looking at you.
Ms. No, I would actually love to hear from Carl and Corinthia,
absolutely.
In whichever order, why they still here. But I can tell you very quickly how it started.
Yeah.
I was looking for friends.
Okay.
I came here with a theater troupe. I did some theater work, and then I wanted to be a musician again, as I was all the time. But I wanted to switch to music. And I started, and I started playing with some people. And we there were a group of us that were doing different kinds of gigs around the place. And we realized that all of us were composers. All of us had original music, and none of us were playing it because there was absolutely nowhere for that music to be heard. Yeah. The gigs, the jams were happening. You don't play original music on a jam because nobody knows it.
Right.
Then you go to Sullivan's or something like that, and they say, shh, don't play so loud.
Don't play so loud.
Please put the mute in that trumpet and just play with your, you know, snare, with your, you know, your whiskers, I call them. And so there wasn't a place, and we were eight people. It was Carl Posh, who is a music man owner. It was myself. It was Cameron Cartlin, who's a drummer in town. Eric Noyu, who's now working in Congress and working as an assistant for one of the Congress people. There it was Marion Call, who lives in Juneau, is an amazing musician. And then it was John Danberg, of course, who is the grandfather of jazz in Anchorage, there's two more, and I'm getting stage fright now, so I'm forgetting them, but we were eight of us, and Liz, yeah, she's not around, so we sat there. Oh, Joe Craig, of course. So he was also very kind of, you know, long-standing figure, and wonderful guitarist in town. So we just sat around afterwards at a gig at Organic Oasis, and I said, oh, we all have an hour's worth of material. Why don't we just play here at Organic Oasis? An hour each? That's 8 hours. That's a whole day. We could call it the Spinard Jazz Fest or something.
Yeah.
And we could all play for each other, because we all do. So we just, let's just rehearse. And we booked, you know, ourselves in the UAA a couple of weekends and rehearsed each other's tunes.
Yeah.
It was a really cool, fun festival thing. We had that idea in kind of mid-April. And it said, we just looked, okay, when can we do it? And it was very kind of fervor, you know. And and it was the one hot day, that's my best memory, rubbing up against sweaty people inside Organic Oasis. Don't tell this to the police, but we sold 230 tickets, and that capacity there is about 90. So, you know, it was over 8 hours, but I think it's like 15 years ago, and no one's going to come and arrest us. But
no.
It was magical, and everyone was like, this, you have to do this again, and, you know, sort of grew from there.
Okay.
So that was the story of it. It was, you know, so that we could play original material, like I said, and so that Ingvild could have some more friends.
There you go.
But I don't know why you think it has value, Corinthia.
I don't know, how often do you get to feel the music?
Mm.
Like with jazz, you really get to feel it. I mean, we've got, and I'm not knocking all the new stuff that, you know, young kids like and all that, but jazz just reaches you on the inside. So different. First of all, it's actually people playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no synthesizer or turntables or anything.
Yeah.
It's people using their talent to play.
Mm.
And then it reaches, and if they do it good, it reaches inside of you. And people want to be reached.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel that connection. So, yeah, I love jazz. I love jazz. I come from a very musical family, so it's like they introduced us to a lot of, my father was really into learning to appreciate something from every culture, opera, all that good stuff and stuff. And I had a couple,
whenever he's prompting you, you can blow it now.
I had an uncle, he passed away, but he was in a group called, the Velvetones.
Okay.
Back in Seattle when they first started.
Luther Rabb. Everyone should just like Google him.
I know. Google Luther Rabb.
Okay.
He was with the Velvetones. He was actually best friends with Jimi Hendrix. So they hung out at the house a lot. So my mom would cook for them all the time. But that was the intro to like the music and hearing my uncles talk about it and then listening to the rehearsals. And it was just that soul reaching kind of thing. And that grabbed me right away. And I think I was like 3 or 4 years old and fell in love with music, all of it. And then I think my uncle ended up actually being friends with Carlos Santana.
Hey.
So, and he's done some work with him. And then, and that's who took care of him until he passed away.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's in there. It's all like,
it's all in there.
Yeah, it's all in there. And it's just been awesome. And then to meet Enville with her very talented self and what she's done for the Spinard community. Yeah, we need it to feel. We need that. As well as we need water, food, air. We need that. Music. Yeah.
I would agree. It's that important. Yeah. To be able to feel it. You know, we COVID, I feel like. I keep going back to COVID, but that was such an eye-opening year, 2020. Physically, spiritually, politically, it was big year.
It showed us who we were.
It showed it them who they are.
Yeah.
And it was such a dividing time.
Yes.
So polarizing. You couldn't say one right thing. Someone had to fight with you about something. You know, and I realized, you know, I'm a sociology major at UAA, but I don't know how all my friends end up being music majors. I don't know. But, you know, I realized it's like thinking of society and thinking of who we are. We already weaponize the beautiful things that make us different, right? We weaponize them and we use them as tools to try to control aspects of our lives, and that gives us a false sense of security. But it causes oppression and hatred and lack of empathy for, you know, your neighbor. One of the things that I realized about 2022 is, or 2020 as well, is there are just like a couple of things that always bring us back to the table collectively. Regardless of all the division, and I feel like music's one of those things.
Yeah,
you know, we're always gonna need food, right? So food, a good home cooked meal, is one of those things.
Yes, Lord.
And music, yes, Lord. Music is one of those things.
Definitely.
Right. So I absolutely agree with you. I think, man, it's needed now more than ever, and it was needed 15 years ago, and it's needed today. So Carl, what's your take on this?
And how did I get involved in this crazy thing? Well, I actually missed the first couple years of Jazz Fest, and then I got invited to play in a band or two to do some backup and help out. And I enjoyed it, and I loved the idea of it, a homegrown festival devoted to jazz. And so I've been involved with a couple of volunteer arts organizations, Dancing Bears in Town, Anchorage Folk Festival, and then Spinard Jazz Fest. And I realized that after time, the people who had that original creative energy to start it, they sort of find that they've done their part, and it's time for them to move on to new things. Right. And so at that time, I realized, well, if you want something to continue, you have to step up. If you want a community, you have to make the community.
Right.
And so I just figured this is my time to step up and see what I could do.
Okay.
And that's when I said, okay, I'll help out. You know, we need leaders, but we need followers too.
Right.
So I said, tell me something to do. And then usually in most of the organizations I've seen, for some reason, it's the money handling and the money dealing with money is something no one's really interested in doing. So I said, oh, I'll do that. And I mean, it's as simple as that.
Okay.
And so I keep track of ticketing, and I will correct you on one thing. Smart Jazz Fest is part of an umbrella arts organization called
Northern Culture Exchange.
And so that they provide us with a lot of structure and resources. And among them is a bookkeeper. So I'm not actually the bookkeeper. I just help track the money, keep track of ticketing, and deal with those aspects, bring a cash box to events, just to make things flow smoothly and do my part.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. That's an extremely important job. And isn't it interesting how the best leaders are the best followers? Yeah.
If you mean they lead by example,
and
they do the work, and that's very inspirational about Ingvild, because she just didn't set it off and let it go, and she continues to be She has the guiding force, and we need that. We need people who have that vision.
We do.
I mean, I'll admit, I don't have a whole lot of vision, but I'm willing to show up.
Yeah.
I'm willing to show up and work.
You have to be a good listener, then.
Absolutely.
Listening. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad that you guys have all stepped up to the plate, and Alaska needs it. I tell you that much right now. So if you're listening, this is Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Justin Williams, with guests Corinthia Rabb, Carl Wilhelmi, and Ingvild Van Guzu. And we are talking about the Spinard Jazz Fest and jazz culture and our lovely relationship with it. Feel free to give us a call if you're in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, statewide at 1-888-353-5752, or feel free to email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. This is your host, Justin Williams, and I am here with Ingvild Vant?
See, now it's just getting worse.
See, now...
Ingvild
Vatn Guttu.
Vatn.
Your predecessor, she would just say Ingvild, and I became Ingvild. It's actually how I just cut out Vatn Guttu from my name.
I noticed, your branding is just Ingvild.
Yeah, and I actually started right in this studio.
Okay.
Kathleen McCoy was just saying Ingvild because she preferred to just stop right there, and everyone else was introduced with full names, and then it kept going, and then Ingvild, and then it sort of... So okay.
You're up there with Madonna,
Adele, Beyonce. You know, it's
wow. Okay, I'll take it.
I'll pronounce their names wrong too, if it helps.
Yeah.
Beyonce and Adele. We'll get there.
No, I'm fine. It's great. Yes, thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you for having
us.
It's a very interesting conversation. I hope people are enjoying it because we don't always get to talk about this in this way.
We don't.
Which is great.
One thing we should probably talk about is how Spinard Jazz Fest has changed.
Yeah.
It's become a little bit more of a big tent.
Mm.
And if you're interested in, you may say, well, I don't like swing jazz or I don't think I like jazz.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the website, which is spinardjazzfest.org, and look at the schedule, I think you'll find there's something for everything. It's not just a swing time.
Yes.
We also have some shows at Vans.
Yeah, we've got two shows at Vans, 2nd and 3rd of June, four bands altogether. We have really everything from youth groups to Mozambique Guitar Hero. I mean, it covers everything.
Yeah.
We've got African music. We've got Norwegian. We've got,
got acapella music.
Acapella music. We've got, how would you say Trinity?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Her own music.
Her own music.
Yeah.
Trinity was going to be here today, but the microphone broke, so we went on.
And it's not all originals anymore. That Spinard Jazz Fest did get away from that a number of years ago because why, Ingvild?
I didn't actually hear what we got away from.
All original music,
music. Yeah, well, actually, I can tell you there's always been a creative. It was kind of an Ingvild festival for many years, right? So it's like, because you say, so to keep it fresh, and it was just like, this is one of the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
So for at least the first 8-9 years, it was maybe not the very first year, but then sort of after that, I kind of... took it, and then so I do other art forms as well. I have a theater background, and I like spoken word and dance, and you write music for dance. So we really panned out and became a community festival, and I'd love for those elements to come back in again. But for a number of years, also musicians were saying to me, "Hey, can we just focus on the music? Because we feel like it's easier to." So it's just about how many. It's talking about big tent. What does a tent look like, and how big is it, and that has to do with how many people are involved. And then why did it not just have original music? Well, it became original creativity within. We did collaborations, you know, we created poetry readings, we created dance shows, we created all kinds of things. And that, that it was just what was happening naturally for us organically. Again, back to the thing, the music is a result of what's happening in the community. And then there's really a portion of folks that would like to come and hear somebody that they've heard of.
Right.
Outside.
Right.
And there's not that much music presented in this way. But here's the thing. This is a musician's festival, believe it or not. It doesn't mean that if you're listening and you don't think you can even play the recorder, you're not welcome. No. Right. But we who put it on, everyone in the committee, everyone who's doing anything and everyone who's sponsoring us, actually, they're all musicians. So we are sponsored by, you know, Atwood Foundation, Rasmussen Foundation, the Arts Council, the Community Foundation. All the people, our contacts, the key folks in those organizations that are closely working with us are themselves also musicians and singers. Mm-hmm. And everyone's basically a music practitioner. Most people have, you know, music in their life.
Yeah.
But so we're trying to have a festival that will also grow us as musicians.
Right.
So we're inviting people to come from outside who would like to work with us, to inspire us, will inspire them. So there's that kind of, it's a very, we don't hire somebody just because we think they're going to sell a lot of tickets at the pack or something. You know, it's like we're not that kind of presenting business. Mm-hmm. We are a creation, creative inspiration, professional development, all of that festival. As a byproduct, you get to come and hear awesome music.
Absolutely.
And of course, being, as we've talked about now, you're improvising, you're creating whatever. You are actually creating no matter what you play. So get back to Carl's question to me, why is it not all original music? Meaning, why is it not all composed by Alaskans anymore? A lot of it is.
Mm-hmm.
But in the moment you're making music, you're also a creative person.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to and there's some amazing musicians in this town who have never written a piece or at least wouldn't perform any of the things that they've written. And you can't like sort of, it was never in my mind to exclude them. But it was always like, because we're looking at structure and story, how do we tell the story if it says originals only? There were some musicians that felt it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
I can't believe how literal people are in this place, you know. Oh, no, but that's not for me because, you know, oh, why couldn't I? Well, you didn't ask. You know, it's just like, get up there. And so you know, we have to kind of just find ways.
Mm-hmm.
And even calling it Bernard and calling it jazz, we have yearly conversations because we're not confined to the regions of the electorate district. Is there a law that says you can't call it? And why is it Jazz Fest and not like Creative Music Fest or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I can answer that right away, that a jazz festival, in my experience, everywhere else is a festival with all kinds of creative music.
Absolutely.
So it is by definition that. So people should know that. If they don't know it, they need to travel more and go to jazz festivals and realize that Beyonce and Adele and Adalia, they're all there, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah. Yes. So anyway, that's kind of what the festival is. And we start with house concert. You know, that's the other thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
It's none of us are performing at them. But yeah, we've got a house concert on the 31st with Albino Mbia, who's from Mozambique, but he came to Berkeley on a where you went, right? On a full African scholarship. He was the first African musician who got a full scholarship to Berkeley. And he now lives in Boston and teaches. And he brings a trio. He was here before. Why is he the one who comes to Alaska? Because he came to the Rock Ock Festival in Juneau in November and met with Cameron, who's our co-festival director, and they got talking and Cameron invited him and it'd be awesome. He's really looking forward to coming.
Mm.
And then Endless Field is another headliner. I met them in New York. They do music in nature. They've done amazing music videos from Utah, from the desert there, and they want to do an album next year in Alaska. So we said, come up and we'll make it a two-year partnership and, you know, let you meet everybody, fly around a bit. And we're going to Homer after the festival, doing a concert down there. They're going to hike to Green Glacier, you know, and we're just going to kind of show them. So there's this sort of exchange, right, and making it, again, creating originals, but, you know, it's And then another headliner is, of course, the drummer man who I've wanted to have up here ever since we started, and now it's finally happening. It's Ed Littlefield, who, you know, is Sitka originally, but has moved to a bigger city because he wanted to survive being a jazz musician. Good for him. Good for everyone who's surviving being just jazz musicians.
Yeah.
And then comes, so those are the ones that we sort of bring in. And also we have a group from other parts of the state. We have Juneau, we have Fairbanks, and you know, even outside Spinard. Mm-hmm. So, and I should probably mention, since we're talking about originals, that we printed 2 years ago, we published a book called Alaska Real Book.
Okay.
And that's a whole other thing that we don't have time to talk about, but it's based on the real book that's the Bible that all jazz musicians learn from.
Mm.
And, you know, feel free to interrupt me here, Carl, because I've been talking a lot now.
You're doing so well, though.
No, blah, blah, blah. This is like, how do they get you to do the work? They just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you've got work in there, Corinthia.
I do.
I have work in there. Carl has work in there. 52 Alaskan composers have work in that book.
That's magnificent.
And it's out in all the schools. It's going to be in every school with a music department or without a music department, because they shouldn't get one in the state, right? And so that people can learn Alaskan-made music. Again, not to reproduce it, but to know, to be proud of where they come from, have a sense of place and sense of music originating.
And if that intrigues you, one of our events is a Wednesday night jam at the Nave, featuring tunes from the real book, from the Alaska real book.
Wow.
Yeah.
There'll be a house band there, the Spinard Jazz Fest Messengers.
Okay.
And then it's going to be fairly freeform, but we'll perform some of the songs from the book.
And then anyone can come. And a band.
We'll see what happens.
We're really excited about it, because there's a full open invitation to anyone who wants to play, whether they have prepared stuff or they want to just jam along, whatever.
And along with that, we talk about ticketing, but several of the events that we have are free of charge. The Jam Jazz on Wednesday being one, and the Grand First Friday. Held in conjunction with the museum is another free event.
That's where Corinthia will be.
Okay.
And that's going to be an amazing event. Basically starting about 4 o'clock on Friday, the
3rd.
We'll have music at the museum. They have allowed us to use their space, and we'll have an outdoor concert on the lawn, and then we'll have indoor concerts all over in different parts of the gallery. And it's more than just a concert. It's not a performance. The musicians there.
Jazz installations.
They're going to be responding to the artwork around them and to the people there.
That's radical.
It will be fun. It'll be in all the galleries. And then that'll be from 6 to 7. And at 7 o'clock down in the main atrium, we'll have an act at 7, which will be Pipeline Vocal Project, which is stunning.
They're great.
And then 8 o'clock, I believe it's Ed Littlefield.
Yep.
Late of Sitka, but now of Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
And that's completely free. So you can go and hear, 6 hours of wonderful music.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Corinthia, are you performing that day?
Yeah, I'll be singing.
Hey.
In a portion of the museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a walkabout, didn't we?
Yes,
we did.
We
sort of started. I've done a couple of walkabouts with artists, and we're sort of in the process of placing people and putting them out there.
Which is wonderful, because if you haven't been to the museum in a while, stunning space.
Yes, it is.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's completely
transformed.
And so we are so happy that they're allowing us to share that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me here this morning. For everyone joining us, thank you so much for being here and listening to our conversation about the Spinard Jazz Fest here in Alaska. And again, go to spinardjazzfest.org, and that's going to be happening May 31st through June 5th. I'm your host, Justin Williams. Our audio engineer today is Tobin Shelby. Have a blessed day, and we will see you next time. Take care.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.